Blog Talk Radio.
Right next to the narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like the Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I bought my boys with me, say what up to Tata. Still sipping my ties, sitting courtside. Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
This very special episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by who else? A choir. We are live from downtown New York at the headquarters of the Ladders. Now your host, Steve Bowes.
Thank you very much, Mark Stelner. Welcome, everybody. Shauna, we are live from New York City. I didn't think we were going to make it, but we did.
We barely did.
Rain and sleet and snow and dark
of
night, imagining some of the folks who managed to travel last night to get here to New York City, to the Ladders. It's fantastic to be here. Let's just make sure we all know what's happening right now. I am Steve Bowes, your host. For the next 58 more minutes or so, with me, of course, Shauna Morkey, the HR minion. Shauna, how are you tonight?
Hey. Still at work. I really should leave.
What? So you call this work?
No, this is the fun part of work that I'm doing while I'm trying to send an email to the IT help desk. Ooh.
Oh, that'll work out. We should let us.
I'm living it up, aren't I?
You should let us crowdsource that email, you know, tweet it out or something, and maybe you'll get a better response. So we're live from New York doing the HR Happy Hour. This is episode 84, a very special episode. I've had 84 on my map for a while, thinking, boy, we really need something big and special and grand for the 84th episode. That's what I thought, because, well, I don't know, Jessica Lee is here. Jessica, I don't know if you know much about internet radio and sort of podcasting, but I've always been told when you hit about 86 episodes, that's when the big syndication money really starts to roll in.
That's how Howard comes in, right, at 86,
and blew up.
Right, so.
We get paid for this.
Yeah, we are closing in on a really big milestone show. So,
awesome.
But it is great to be here. Our 2 hours early so that the folks here at the Ladders can get back to the hotel and study up on all the information we learned today and something like that. HR Happy Hour, call-in number, let me give the call-in number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board. And if you're out there listening to this, and if you knew, and hopefully you will know in the next few minutes, the array of superstar talent in this room. You've heard Mark Stelzner, of course, the voice of the HR Happy Hour. Jessica Lee is here with us. I see Chris Dunn over there. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Fantastic.
You look marvelous.
Thank you.
Eddie Vedder shirt. You're set to say for the listeners, you're a little Eddie Vedder today with the flannel.
Yeah. The Ladders could not find a better man for this role. Could they? Absolutely. I downloaded. I low-keyed it. I didn't want to come in and upstage. You know, I didn't pull. He walked out of the room. I didn't pull Jim Stroud like coming in like a sort of Telly Savalas Kojak outfit. You know, trying to intimidate the room. Right? He had a little bit of that going on.
Stroud.
Yeah. Exactly. Was it a square? Or did he do the some sort of artful fold?
Yeah. I don't even know what that is. So that's a great example.
Big the lumberjack.
Josh Letourneau is here. Josh, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Is this a red carpet event, Steve? Are we going to get a breakdown of what everyone's wearing tonight?
We might. Kelly Dingy's here. Kelly.
Hey.
Yo, Sorcerer Kelly for your Sorcerer Kelly on Twitter is here. Sorcerer Kelly to me is we really should talk about some real content other than just sort of working the room, but We'll get to that, I think. But Sorcerer Kelly to me is fantastic. I never met Kelly before today, but it's a weird thing because he's got that Sorcerer Kelly kind of handle. So I had never met you before, and that's the handle. So like I feel like in real life, that's just how I would refer to you.
Of course.
I would just call you Sorcerer Kelly.
Yes.
So when you're home and not in Sorcerer Kelly mode, though, does that bleed over? Do people call you that?
They call her Sorcerer Mom.
Yeah. Or
yeah, that's
how
right.
Does that work?
Sorcerer Mom. Yeah. It's just the same thing. Yeah.
You have a cat
all
named Sorcerer or something.
They all
like that.
Know what I do. I'm training them up. You know, I'll have a team someday.
Right.
Of all these people, but. No.
Well, fantastic to meet you. Thanks for coming by the show.
Of course. Thank you.
Is it all you imagined it to be?
It is absolutely all I imagined.
Wait.
You know, I'm kind of disappointed that Sean is not here in person with Brownie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fudge. Either way.
That would have been phenomenal.
I would have loved to be in New York, but dude, I just moved.
I could have used some fudge on that train ride today that I took to get here. That was.
There was a lot of fudge today.
Do you need me to send you some more?
Yeah. All right. I said I wasn't going to announce him in the room, but I'm going to go ahead and say David Manister is here from ERE. David, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. David was on fire today at various points in the summit. Well played challenges and volleys. Well done today. And wait. Yeah. Well, there was a whole jail imprisonment subculture thing happening today.
What?
Yeah, it was like apparently so let's talk about it, right? So we're here and we're at the Ladders and they've been great. But it's not, you know, it's not a service for everybody, right? They're clear in their marketing. It's 100K jobs, 100K recruiters. So we started talking about what are some of the other niche markets that can be still exploitable in the recruiting space. And there are some.
Ooh, exploitable. Nice word.
Chris is looking at me like he has something to say.
No, I'm just listening.
Good.
No.
Yes, it's
good.
It's riveting. This is how I know the show's jumped the shark. There's 19 people in the room, and I'm doing all the talking. That is
the
completely
show has come
wrong.
To start? I thought we did that weeks ago.
But here's the thing. There's one little speaker. We're in a giant room. There's one little speakerphone. There's 15 people in here, but no one is sitting within 7 feet of the speakerphone except for me.
Aww, is everyone shy?
It could be me. So anyway, finally in the back row, Kevin Wheeler is here. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, I'm great.
Jerry Crispin.
Hello.
Very nice to see you. And John Sumter is here as well. And Jim.
Wow, you have a great group there, Steve.
And the man himself. Jim Stratt has just walked back. Jim, I know you will say hi to Happy Hour.
Hello, Happy Hour. Love you. Mean it. Call me.
That is everybody that's here. I'm
nice.
Tired. Are you? Jim.
Already?
I am tired. I had an arduous ride on the Amtrak Empire Special all day today.
Yeah.
Poor Steve.
It's funny when you're on the Empire Special. Like, one of the things I noticed, like, right on is, like, the stretchy pants, right, as sort of a traveling garment. Very popular.
Stretchy pants.
Empire Special.
But it looks good on you.
Yeah.
not anyone can pull up jeans, but, yeah.
Stretchy pants of flannel, Steve?
It's like 7 degrees. It snowed for 14 days straight. It's like, I'm going to put on my little tights and.
Hey, you know, work.
Their appropriateness and.
It's the laundries.
Getting into an enclosed space with 37 strangers.
Express your metrosexual.
Yeah.
Okay.
It worked for me. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about why we're all here. We're down here at the Ladders for the day talking about employment, recruitment, advertising, workforce, sourcing, connections, internet. Just in your mind, just what sort of some of the high points, highlights of the day from your perspective? What are some of the things that really made you say, wow, that's interesting?
Well,
besides the turnovers.
Well, everyone here said something really interesting to me. One thing sort of popped up in my head, though, and I guess it's because I tweeted it. I don't know if it was you or I don't know who said it, but the quote stuck in my head. It was that a resume is a marketing tool, not an affidavit. And I thought that was so cool. Isn't that a cool saying? Yeah.
That's cool.
I had a tweet then. I was thinking how true that is. Because I think it came up because we were talking about the people lie on their resumes. And I think it was John was the one who quoted that. Yeah, the brilliant thought came from John Sumser, I believe. And we were talking about do people lie on their resumes, and it came about that, well, it's really a marketing tool. You know, you use it to get someone's attention, to start a conversation, and then when you meet in person, you can lay the facts down straight.
Yeah, that really came up a lot today. That we revisited that a little bit too, as well, and we were really getting into the LinkedIn conversation about, well, you know, is LinkedIn the most valuable tool in the recruiter arsenal, and whether or not you could sort of trust or the veracity of someone's LinkedIn profile. Mark, you had some comments about that earlier today.
Yeah, I don't think they were good comments, but I agree, I did comment. did you want more than that? No, that's fine. I want to go back. I think we had a lot of questions online about the prison discussion, and it was Josh bringing up the famous Stanford experiment where we divided into prisoner. Oh, no, wait, it wasn't even Josh.
It was Manister.
Manister went into the prison. And
Yes.
We were breaking down the behavioral characteristics of guards versus prisoners, and Letourneau made it very clear. I want everybody to know this. He is a guard.
Okay.
Under no circumstances will Josh be taken prisoner. And then he threw himself out the window. It was shocking. It was shocking to all of us. But what were we talking about, Steve? I'm sorry.
We were talking about resumes and LinkedIn, and so what do you trust? You're out there sourcing, you're recruiting, maybe not you directly, Mark, sort of the metaphorical you.
Yeah, the theoretical me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that debate about whether or not, you know, where do you go? The gaps in resume history against gaps in a LinkedIn profile. And, you know, that conversation went on for quite a while today.
One thing Chris brought up, which I'd love to hear him talk about, instead of putting, like, sanitizer on his hands.
Yeah, we're good, Chris.
Drop it off.
Yeah. Nobody touched Chris.
Everybody touched
Chris. He just laid his hand. He doesn't want to touch anybody at this point.
This is getting weird.
This brought up the fact that he actually goes to LinkedIn to validate the information that he sees on resumes.
No, you're right. Yeah, I think like if all of you are coworkers with me and we're all connected on LinkedIn, I've got less. I just got less room, wiggle room, to be creative on a resume if we're all connected, especially if you get the update every week. You get that big update email to say, hey, Chris has changed something. What are you going to do if you see my name and you're my coworker? You're going to go check that out, right? You're going to click through on it. And I just think it almost, by just the transparency of it, will keep candidates honest.
Do you get the sense, you know, this is some of the things, you know, we talk about students and what we advise students and job seekers. And I mentioned I never tell a student to go, you know, get on monster.com and, you know, put a profile out there. But we all tell them to get on LinkedIn and build a profile and connect and leverage that network. Jessica, I'll ask you, do you sense like LinkedIn is on a slow march to just take over the recruiting space from both the candidate and the employer side?
I mean, from the employer side, I don't know if it's going to take over, but I certainly think that for, you know, the average recruiter, it's an easy tool to use. It's accessible, and, you know, there's not a lot of, it's not necessarily a ton of effort you have to put into it. So I think that there's, you know, potential, but you know, there are still a lot of questions for job seekers, you know, in terms of how to use the tool, how much data to put out there, you know, what are their employers going to think, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, because some of that conversation we had got into, and I'll throw this one to you, John, if you don't mind. One of the conversations that in the sort of myths of recruiting section today in today's event was, is the social profile more important than the resume for the candidate and as they're being evaluated by recruiters? And that was, I think, sort of a mixed bag on that. I don't know, John, if you might want to comment on that. Is your online presence or your online work reputation now more important or more impactful than what's on your paper resume?
So my take is that there was a general agreement in the room that the trend is towards the social profile, but where it matters today is a function of what industry you're in. So if you're in Silicon Valley and you're doing software design, your online presence matters. Probably doesn't matter much if you're a miner. You know, it probably doesn't matter much if you're working in a metals plant somewhere, and it probably doesn't matter in the clay belt going down through Alabama. May never matter there. So the social graph is getting important. It's interesting to see the insight. There was a fair amount of talk too about not so much hiding, but learning how to manage the data that you have out there about yourself. You know, there's a great deal of talk about the the risk associated with having a social profile and hear these weird stories about people keeping multiple profiles so that there's one face out here and another face out there. And some of the folks in the letters talked intelligently about using SEO tactics to manage what people actually see versus what they don't see.
Right.
So it sounds to me like there's going to be increasing sophistication about the use of social profiles. And there's also, I think, a general sense in the room that recruiters look at that stuff. No matter how scary stories are out there, that recruiters use social profiles to validate stuff.
Let me do a quick reset. We've got a room full of real sketchy talent in here, but good talent. If you were to vet them online, I think at least 7 of the top 25 of something, right, on top of list. So we're really excited about that. Again, this is HR Happy Hour. We're a couple of hours early. I see some surprise people out there on the Twitter stream. Hey, we tried to let you know. You know,
got to keep them on their toes. It's been a while since we changed it up.
Come on, out there. Ridiculous. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Our hashtag on Twitter, of course, HR Happy Hour. Shauna, if there's anything out there that you think we should onto, or at least openly.
I am currently not on the Happy Hour back channel because I'm in the car on my way home to the apartment because I finally got my butt out of work.
Shauna, so clearly, talking on the phone, driving, tweeting is not within your
reference. I'm multitasking.
I call that the triple threat on the candidate skill set, right? And you just, all right, we'll give you a pass on that. Well, I'll take a look real quick. You know.
I'll be there in like 5 minutes.
Of course. All right, here's a question. Is the ladders really still just 100K jobs? We didn't really talk much about that specifically today, but their answer is yes,
yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can't speak for them, but I guess I just did, didn't I?
You did.
I said I couldn't. Can I continue to speak for them, Kelly?
Please. Why not Alex
over
here?
That's true. The Ladders folks have been really great to us. They hosted a great event, invited us all down here. They're not in the room with us here on the show. They were invited to be here on the show and participate if they care to. They could be just setting up Stelzner's mini bar back at the hotel.
I certainly hope.
Nice.
100,000 bottles, tiny, tiny bottles.
Yeah, so... yes, their answer to that is yes, and, you know, they got to really, I tell you what, if we're going to talk about the ladder since we're here, just we walked around, we did a little tour, maybe David, you could comment a little bit about your observations of what you saw as we sort of walked around these couple of offices.
There was a sea of young faces.
Oh, my God, right? I felt very old.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I felt tall, though, even though Fackett wasn't here, I still felt tall. Right, a lot of young, a lot of energy though. A lot of
energy. It's just a lot of people on the phones talking. I don't know what they were talking about.
Yeah, I said this to Chris. I thought it looked like the kinetic boiler room. You know,
right.
Sort of looked like
the activity room.
Yeah.
Monitor heaven.
It did.
Yeah,
impressive.
Each person had 3 monitors.
Yeah.
One for their own job search, which I thought was interesting.
Oh!
Jerry cackling in the background, in case you're wondering. Yeah. Unexpected, really, in that regard.
I know, we haven't even gotten to our real happy hour yet. We're doing the radio show, but yeah.
But it was, I mean, the youth was an interesting question. We talked with Alex, one of the co-founders, about, you know, these are young people who don't really have a large body of work experience themselves, yet they're advising those that are presumably eligible for senior-most positions. So what's, you know, how do you control for that disconnect? And I think you had a good conversation with him about that. What was his response? How did he characterize?
So my name is Jason, the one person
who doesn't
know. Oh. Yeah. Jason, thank you for doing that because, you know, when I did the whole, I'm not going to go around and introduce everybody. It was really the one guy.
And the very one you call on.
My stomach right now, yeah. Like, it's slowly
Jason, fantastic.
Jason's with the HR Alliance. Sure, I'm here to help.
Great. Alex had an interesting perspective. His thought was that first years ago when they thought to introduce recruiters and candidates to the staff here, they were very scared to do so. They were scared to do so simply because of the disconnect from typically your candidate has a different experience than maybe the majority of the folks that you look out on the floor. But his thought was through continuous training and by segmenting the folks that help candidates by region and by function, that they could overcome that boundary of, well, I'm in my mid to late 40s, I'm a C-level person, I make more money than you've ever made so far. How could you possibly help me? His attitude was, well, we're training these folks and putting them through rigorous steps before we actually put them in front of clients, and through that training sort of overcome the barrier of age. And he said the experience has been that from the candidate side, they might sit down with someone who's 20 years younger than them, but within minutes seem to be well impressed with the training that's in there.
And who's to say that every one of those young people are not making 100K plus?
Right, absolutely.
That was Jeff.
I'm going to say as McKinsey does it all the time, so 20-year-olds are.
My question was, the people that they show on the page that you go to, right? You go to a given page, it shows you a person that's like 25 years younger than you, perhaps. Just the psychological impact of that alone, regardless of how knowledgeable they are, right? I thought that was pretty gutsy.
Well,
a kid, we saw like a kid who's like 19.
Yeah, it is strange. I mean, that goes both ways too. I mean, like my kid's pediatrician is like this old dude, and I swear I don't like trust him. I don't think I believe any word he says anymore. So I think it can go the other way. Like I kind of sometimes think, man, I might want a younger guy in here, you know, or a woman who's got a little more hips to like what's happening. You know, I don't know. Am I wrong on this?
So what does the youth represent then? Could they represent that they are up with the latest technology, or do they represent inexperience?
It can represent economics, doesn't it?
Or just young, attractive people, and you know, hey, who do you want to look at when you're coming up with a picture online? Do you want to look at me, or do you want to look at what was her name? Karen, something like that.
Yeah, so
the
other. I don't know how I remember.
I can't imagine. But, I mean, that could be a large part of it. And I guess the other thing is are they counseling them on their job search or are they counseling them on their resume? Because that's what I was thinking about is if they're just counseling them on their resume, you can talk to anybody about that, especially if they've got those certifications behind them.
And, you know, let's face it, 100K is generally today not that much experience or not that old of a candidate. I mean, I don't think there's much difference in the age of them. And most of the people, they're probably talking
to. When does inflation catch up with the tagline, right?
Yeah.
Need
ooh.
I mean, we're pretty close to 100K with any, you know, well-educated, technical-type position.
Yeah, and, you know, if there were a C-level person who were really using the ladders and calling some random job seeker advisor for, you know, insight into what to do next in their career.
You could understand why they were looking for a job.
Yes, absolutely. So
yeah,
I highly doubt that.
I just
want to
say, because what I've seen in the last 2 years, a lot of people talk now where they haven't looked for jobs in the last 2 years. They haven't been faced to do it. So all of a sudden, they're out there saying, well, what do I do now? I'm supposed to network with, I'm not online. It's this whole segment of people that haven't seen a resume in 15 years. So I'm finding that for looking for something like the ladders and maybe making a phone call, so where am I to go? I don't have that relationship right now because I haven't been faced with it. So
I think that's a good argument for the younger folks who understand social networking in the online space and can actually give them some good advice. You know, I think it cuts both ways. You know, it's
a lot of New York and the startup culture and that. I mean, this is the labor pool and the startup of New York, and there's an endless supply of young people who have just moved to New York who are willing and ready and able to.
Yeah, I'm having a weird, Letourneau, I know you're thinking this too, like a weird vision of like, you know, someone down at the Port Authority waiting for the buses to come in with
what?
Come join us.
This is like the Ellis Island.
Come join us as a career counselor.
Maybe it's a new prison industry.
All right, let's do a quick reset.
We
a great point. It's a good question, right? The ladders is that positioning themselves is the difference. They're not the job board. They're the concierge service for the high-end candidate, right? And so the question is, I think, a valid one. Are they able to deliver those kind of value-add services that they're trying to market with the people who are qualified to do that to their employees? Jessica, you had a comment?
Oh, I can make two comments, and it's not related to your line of thought. But the commercials never came up today. I thought someone made crack, but the commercials never came up. And then, you know, I don't know if folks have seen this on Tourist Room or whatnot, but apparently LinkedIn has just announced that they're officially going public. So, filed their paperwork with the SEC. So, yeah.
Surprised,
that's interesting. So next week, the show live from LinkedIn. Can we get that?
Nice.
Like snow to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. We can get that done.
Yeah.
Shauna, get on that, would you?
Sweet. Okay.
Thank you. All right. So where were we? We were talking about the value, the commercials. Well, you brought up the commercials. We were not talking about them. There has been a number of tweets about that, a lot of stuff written about that. That's an easy mark, right? It's so visible. It is an interesting sort of that mass market advertising approach, because like who advertises on TV now in the mass market? It's kind of the real big firm, right? The Fords and Starbucks or whatever, and it's or it's your personal injury attorneys and local car dealers, right, on the local spot, right? And that, yeah, hey.
A tax problem.
Right.
So what you're really seeing, this is a spin-off of the hot jobs culture. And hot jobs made its money by advertising on the Super Bowl. They blew the lid off the employment market, and these guys, the guys who are running this company, made all of their money as hot jobs employees, right? So what they're doing is a tried and true formula. Sensational advertising, big bet on marketing dollars to drive traffic and get on the map. And it's working.
But do you think their ads send the right message?
Oh, shit, yes.
Sure does.
When you go to work for a boss in this country, you're precisely a whore. And that's exactly the message that's in that thing.
Wow.
Did everybody get that? He said, and I quote, when you go to work for someone in this country, you're precisely a whore.
And I've never been so happy in my life.
Yeah, seriously.
That just makes you a fan. Well,
that just means you're pleasing yourself. Get that hand sanitizer.
Dude.
No, I think that's what's scary about those videos is that what do you do when you do a resume? You posture in seductive ways to get the attention of the people who are reviewing the resume, and that's what that commercial's about. So it's actually really funny. It's really good social commentary, and you'll notice that it's the men who are naked, not the women. So it's kind of progressive. And it's on 75 monitors in this office. So if you missed it once, come over to the lobby. You can see it again.
Yeah.
My eyes are bleeding.
The ladders, and they sign up. It makes me ill. But I get it. John's comments, I think, are very real, and that's probably why it makes me so ill.
I mean, I think you could pick out any. I think those monkey commercials for Career Builder are kind of annoying too. I mean, they're sort of implying you've got a stupid job. You work with monkeys, and you know only we can help you realize how stupid you are to get away from these monkeys and sort out your life.
Was it a hot job ad back in the day that was rejected from the Super Bowl because it was too disgusting?
Yes.
With the elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy sweeping up behind the elephant?
Yeah.
And what? This is how you get that job?
Yeah.
My irritation with some of those advertising efforts over the last few years is that it really says that the solution to a lousy job or a lousy boss is to actually go find another lousy job or lousy boss rather than actually confront the environment you're in and make it better. And almost all of the services out there, their advertising to me misses the opportunity to help people deal with real career issues that have to do with doing something positive in your own freaking environment rather than running out and looking for another job.
Yeah, but oh, you're too altruistic, Jerry.
You're way too altruistic.
It's real stuff.
But Jerry, you're saying that the latter should run ads to say, please don't leave your
job. No, I know.
Come on. Is supposed to be irritating.
So, Kelly, how do you feel? How old are your kids?
15, 12, and 7.
All right, I've got 10 and 7. So I understand it, like Rebecca, what John said and what Jerry said. But, it, you know, it's, I can't control that as a parent. Like when I see it, I mean, it's on early, too. You know, can't control it. That's more a reflection on media than it is the ladders. I mean, the ladders is operating in parameters that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see it come on, and basically it's like pole dancing, right?
Oh,
4 p.m. on
this
Sunday.
This is nothing. I have 3 daughters, and my husband is addicted to every sporting event there is. Do you understand on Sunday afternoons and evenings how many commercials there are for erectile dysfunction? And would you like to have?
football
knows exactly how many commercials
there
are.
Wow.
I hear on this show. Seriously.
There's 4.2 in every football game.
But they really were.
Well, you know, they're supposed to a lot already, right? So you got to just deal with that on the ground that you have. I just, you know, part of me wishes as a parent that they didn't have to grow up so quickly.
Right. Yeah, well, and my girls, when they saw it, they said my dad would never do that. My dad would never dance on that pole. He would never get done doing whatever it is he's doing on the computer and crunching those numbers and then crawl across the table or, you know, slide across the floor.
Mr.
And,
Dingy to
stay. Oh, God. I mean, in a broader sense, right, our tolerance for this kind of stuff, it evolves over time. It is relative, right? And what would have been acceptable, you know, back when I was a younger person, you know, certainly tame today, right?
Yeah, and I guess my point to answer David's question is I don't blame the ladders for that, right? I don't blame them. It's like a bigger statement that parents have to deal with. And so you have young kids, you know, and Jessica will find this out in about, what, 18 months?
Josh, I don't know what that one is. I'm sorry.
Shirtless Pony.
Purple pill. Just a little. If we can.
Do you want to do a reset?
Let's do, because I went to school for this, and every 15 minutes I have to give out the call-in number and the hashtag.
You
and
went to school?
Pretend.
something every day.
And when I pause the show, I have a half a second to sort of pretend like none of it is really actually happening. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do that. So we're live from New York. We've got a great cast assembled. We're talking about job ads, TV ads, Viagra, prison culture, and more. Our calling number is 646-378-1086. Our hashtag, HR Happy Hour. We do have one brave soul who wants to come on and say hello. Let's give him or her a shot. Area code 616, you're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey, guys, it's Deirdre. How are you?
Hey,
Dee. Hi, Dee. How are ya?
Those who might not know her, you might know her as the HR Maven.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, Dee.
Forever.
It's been ages.
We've missed you. Huh? We've missed you. Well, I have this thing called a job. It's kind of crazy.
Whatever. We're way more important.
I know. I know, but Lori Rudiman.
Find another one.
Well, I just had to call in because Lori Rudiman posted that it was too early to drink.
Oh, it's never too early.
No, I thought.
That's clearly.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, people.
So always, hey Dee, since we have you and you're an HR director, what do you think of the ladders ads?
Well, I think they're misleading, and I'm always skeptical of people who have to pay for assistance. So, you know, and I don't pay a lot of attention to that because I don't use a lot of those third-party partners to fill my positions. But when I look at the ads, I think, gosh, you know what, I don't think that that's someplace I would go or I would refer other people to either. So I missed, like, the whole Viagra erectile dysfunction conversation. So
probably
I'm, like, a, probably. So if there's some, like, part of that that I should know about, maybe there's more to it. But, okay, good.
We may return to that part of the conversation. It depends. We've got about 20 more minutes to go, and that was kind of lively. I think your opinion on this is definitely not uncommon. I think there's a lot of organizations that wouldn't get involved with this kind of play, but, you know, definitely some that would, it's contentious, and maybe it was contentious before those crazy commercials went out, and now it's even more so, but I guess that's the idea, right? I mean,
I guess my question for them would be, do they have proof that they're helping people in those positions? Because clearly, you know, there's sort of an affiliation with, you know, you want to make $100,000 a year or more, come to us. And I don't know that I believe that just from that, you know, just out of the gate. I would want a lot more information. So, and maybe it's out there.
Right.
I don't think it is. I mean, we press them privately pretty heavily today on data, metrics, outcomes, placements, everything. And I got to tell you, it was the slippery dance. Like, anytime I tried. No, what? I mean, it was. And I understand why they're trying to keep this information private. We were trying to pin down paid subscribers versus just general free members. And I think they're having difficulty, honestly, providing the metrics and information that we would all like to see.
Have you ever talked to anybody in this business who would give you those metrics in public? It's just normal logic.
What's different about them? If you're charging a job seeker, there's an implicit promise that you're trying to do something different, something that a job seeker has a tremendous amount of choice today. So
that there's value?
That's my return on investment. I want to see how successful others have been, others like me. And presumably, if I'm ponying up for a network that has some implicit promise that it's going to facilitate job placement in the 100K-plus market, I want to get a sense of how many people have come here, gone through the cycle, and have successfully been placed. And I don't think that's an unreasonable question. I really don't.
I don't either. Yeah.
But I think as they struggle to determine which parts of the massive ecosystem that they want to monetize, they're struggling with what we would perceive to be very simplistic, transparent questions.
I would agree with that, but I would also, I think that there's a counter argument to be made here is number one, they have a business with recurring monthly fees that they charge people for this help, and presumably if they weren't providing an adequate service, they wouldn't have that business. It would simply go away.
Right.
And when
have
we ever required that a business justify to us, who are not customers, that they're providing a valuable enough service to not, you know,
right.
To not have, like, suspicions aired about
them. No, I mean, you don't ask the car company how many cars did they rent this week to see if you're going to rent a car. I mean, you know, we don't ask those questions in a lot of industries.
When a car company produces bad cars, their sales go down, and they have
have to figure something out. I mean, but then that would be the same, presumably, with this organization.
I think what causes this issue to be so contentious is because they are such an anomaly in this market, because of the fact that they charge job seekers, and because of the disproportionately negative coverage that's around this specific issue about fee-for-service.
Yeah.
That I don't believe there's – maybe they don't owe anyone. You might have a good point. Maybe they don't owe anyone a response. But when I'm asked, then who I recommend, and when I'm talking to job seekers, in lieu of a very measurable response, I'm going to refer people elsewhere. Honestly, I am. And
you know, I have a comment on that, the automobile renting a car thing. If I'm buying or if I'm renting or if I'm utilizing a service, that's one thing. But I'm asking someone to think about and represent and look out for me. So I'm going to be very careful about the people or the person or the recruiters that I use to do that.
At the risk of getting us back into pharmaceutical talk, it's a more sort of intimate kind of relationship you're entering into.
Right? Totally. Yep.
Versus renting a car.
Sometimes the price that you pay is the benefit, is the perceived benefit, not paying for something, so it has to be better, whether it is or not.
Right.
And there's always room in the market for that. There's always room for a premium product that will pay more for it. A watch, for example.
But it's just weird. I don't want to beat this one to death, but it is kind of odd, you know, how sometimes it's like we feel like we're not just doing commentary or observation, but we have to be some sort of guardian of some kind of, I don't know, way of doing business or method. And, like, I don't know if that's really true either. You know what I mean? They have their business model. They're trying to execute it. You can sort of agree with it or not, but I don't know about judging it. That's where sometimes I think maybe certain people have maybe gone too far on this.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But I mean, I don't know. I disagree with you, and I disagree with you because we're all here because they want, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I disagree with the host?
Yes, you can.
Am I fired? It's okay if I am.
Yes, no.
Now I know how to find a job, which is great.
Yeah, my.
This is the admin finance floor. You're on the wrong floor.
Oh, that's not so, admin. Just reposition my resume, Chris, and it'll be
thousands of people will hear your application.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, but the reason I disagree is we're all not in this room because they don't want our opinion. We're in this room because they're hoping that through our various channels through which we presumably offer some form of influence to this market, that there will either be an implied or an explicit endorsement. Right? I'm curious to see if anything was heard today that will fundamentally change their direction, or if instead they cherry-pick the pieces of content that largely support the direction they've already chosen. And so I think many of us are confused about what will actually happen as a result of our participation today. I think we came out of curiosity, out of mutual respect and admiration, frankly, for one another. But I don't think a lot of questions that we had about their service were necessarily responded to in a way that at least gives me personal comfort that I know more than before I arrived.
It was a very polite room. I heard you ask the questions. I don't know if other people did as well, in private,
right,
more or less. Right? It was just the three of us when you did it.
Right.
There was decorum. You know, so the questions weren't really asked in that way.
Yeah. So it's on me, I agree. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's on you. I think it's on everyone who had the question in their head. It's certainly on me.
Yeah. So there you go.
Fair enough, you know. Shauna, that guy who talked to us about cutting new spot for the HR Happy Hour, get that guy's email, would you? Okay.
Oh, no one can replace Mark. We love him.
Do you have your leaning? John is leaning forward in that look that's ready to say, he's got to say something.
I wish was here. I wish Trish was here. Because that's all one stream related to this topic. She came in on the candidate side. And that's the only time that I've ever seen somebody in this circle come in on the candidate side, because like I'm on record talking from the employer side. I've used the ladders. It works. The way it's worked in the past for me is if I have a position that fits the model, 100K plus, and I can relocate candidates, it develops a very good candidate flow that's very applicable to what I'm looking for. So I was always interested to see when the ladder's like ecosystem scales to the point where it can be zip code specific and it can deliver that same candidate flow on a metro by metro basis. My instinct tells me that's probably starting to happen like the top 10 metros, but it's probably not happening across the top 50 metros.
So that's my perspective, and you know, I can't really answer the candidate side, but I did see Trish weigh in the last job search she did, that she actually paid for the service and was at least satisfied with the value exchange she got from a lead perspective. And I think, you know, in the echo chamber of what we do, I don't think we have many people who have used it as a candidate. And that's really all we're talking about now is just kind of, personal, like, references and opinions.
We don't have data from them relative to supporting them, nor do we have them, but, and they're not the only model. So it's not just the Lattice, but many models do not have any independent audit that supports the claims that they, in fact, make. It might be great if more in our space did create more of a, an independent audit of that. It would make it easier then if there were, a survey done by an independent group of some of their members,
right,
around satisfaction, and they talked a little bit about here's what we were learning about how we need to improve our service, et cetera. Those are the kinds of things that I like to see in a corporation that's trying to get to the next level. Because fundamentally, they don't fix any credibility issues that might exist at their base level. A lot of these additional issues aren't going to be moot. No one's going to be going after them if, in fact, you don't fix your base value proposition.
Will we say that growth is an indication of a company doing well? Because I was speaking to one of their employees earlier when we were walking around, and she was telling me how that when she joined, she thought she would be the new kid on the block for a period of time, but then within a matter of, I think, a week or two or something like that, they hired like 15 more people. So I'm like, wow, they're hiring that many people internally that quickly. There must be some growth there, and it wouldn't be growth if the model wasn't being sustained by customers.
It's been around long enough.
Growth
it either means
turnover.
That their revenue is growing, or it means that they have a lot of venture capital money in the bank.
But could it also be indicative of people are pleased with the service? Because if the service sucks,
they
go away.
Well, I mean, how many other, I know that they charge, but how many of the ones, I know, and just look at the ones who don't charge, though. They don't provide any information either. It's okay if you don't charge not to provide information. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. Just because they charge you, they should provide information, but everybody else doesn't have to.
I'd like to see everybody provide information. Don't get me wrong, but I think the bullseye goes on their back because they do charge. And I didn't do a professional survey, but a couple of weeks ago, I think I told several of you, I put out to my network a request, just in general, what do you think about the Ladders? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you indifferent? I had 800 responses. Not one of them was positive. Not one.
Were they all? Did they all cite themselves as active customers?
They're job seekers and recruiters. 800 independent messages that were sent to me by people in my network, and I told the executives today that we met with. And so, is that an anomaly? Are people that are unhappy more likely to be vocal than those that are happy? Absolutely. But it was so disproportionately negative.
I wonder though if you sent that, and I'm not trying to defend.
No, that's okay.
I'm just, if you were to send that out to a, any of the big, Manpower or anything else, if you wouldn't get exactly the same.
It absolutely could be. It could be. Yeah. And I think Jerry's point about an independent body or some entity that can come in and audit all of the providers and provide a scorecard or some mechanism.
Like a consumer report.
Yeah, exactly.
Services.
Exactly.
Ooh.
I can get it from my toaster, right?
Yeah.
It'll only have value if it means something for revenue that you produce some proof of your independent proof of your circulation, for example. So your advertising revenue, for example, with most newspapers is based on circulation.
Right.
So they have an independent audit of what the circulation is in order to establish what their rate is.
Right.
There's no equivalent here, and there's not equivalent whether it's a pay model like Ladders or Monster model to do that. The only difference is if you are a public firm, you have to show things. If you're not, you don't. So I really don't have an issue around it other than if we are normally critics, and as we are on various occasions, we have a point of view, and if we have more data, we have a more confirmed point of view.
Right.
And I like to have data that allows me to say pretty clearly, wow, that's interesting, and I don't have it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Go ahead, David, and then I want to.
As a company, they have exactly one responsibility, and that is to ensure that their customers are happy with them. And that's not a responsibility to share data on their subscriber base, their churn, which we were trying to get out of them.
Right.
Any of that with any of us. I mean, they basically have to make sure their customers are happy, and presumably that is reflected in their sales.
Right. All right, let me do a quick, Josh, hang on one second, okay? I have the union reg thing I got to deal with. So we got 10 minutes or so left in the show. This is HR Happy Hour live from New York, a stellar panel assembled. We're talking about the ladders and job seeking and lots of other things and some other things I'm trying to already forget. You have one last chance to get on board with us if you want, 646-378-1086. The bunch of you that are on the line, if any of you guys want to come on board, just press 1 on your phone and I'll open up your line. And we'll just wind it down. No after show tonight. There's like, I heard there's the
Sizzler. You have to go get your drink on?
The Sizzler over on 17th Street. Is that where we're going?
I think so.
I think so.
Why?
It's close. I think we can walk there probably.
Jerry's getting a little antsy here. So.
Wrap it up. Get out. Yeah.
Detox is taking care.
We got to get over there quickly. So, Josh, you had a comment?
I was going to say, I think the substantiation that they're using are these Facebook-like status updates of success. And you see the pictures are all personal. People with their families are doing something outside of the work environment. So they're utilizing, they're engaging the right brain. It's like they're moving away from left-brain logic, what's your data? And they're showing a picture of a family like your family. And somebody's saying, look, I found a position. So I think that's their substantiation.
Okay.
So it's like a marketing lesson almost.
And, I don't mean to keep harping on it, but the dating services, they don't provide you any data on how many people got married or how many marriage and they charge.
I don't know. Don't look at me like I should know. I don't know. You're all over that. Someone here probably knows, though.
Say they've led to more marriages than any other.
Yeah, but they don't give
any
numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
They don't back it up with numbers.
We, Shauna, we need to put that on the list for the future. We need to get
that would be awesome.
Online dating. I think that's an area.
Well, we did have the Clueless at Love show and tried to hook people up.
Area ripe for exploration. So. Up in the show, just an open question. Anybody learn anything new today or was really surprised by something you did here? Anyone?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jerry. That's it.
I don't have to substantiate.
No.
What I like about today is we avoided contentious issues. We focused in on key issues that I think came up as part of the discussion. I thought there was some fascinating conversation back and forth. There wasn't always agreement about, one thing or another. I learned some great tag phrases, from John and others.
Okay.
And figure out how to work them in long term. But, it was great.
Anyone else? Did you learn something new or surprised by anything?
I was surprised by, I don't think surprised, but I thought it was interesting. They stated that all of their jobs were here in the United States. They didn't outsource any of their technology.
Oh, here at the ladders themselves, right.
Yeah,
all the
yeah.
development done in-house, yeah?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Oh.
I was a little surprised by the scope of development work. There's a lot of people in development and R&D and design work. It's a pretty big operation here.
This is a big company, but they should change the logo from a step to a ladder, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got to put you in touch with your brand.
You got to be careful these days with logo changes, though, right?
It used to be called the steps.
Some people are really attached. No, but I'm thinking of the Starbucks thing and the Gap.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Those logo changes. We're top on the ladder, boy. Be a big consumer brand right now and change your logo. How dare you? You're doomed, right? If a capitalist changes his icon on Twitter, man, it's over for him.
What I always thought about the ladders was, from the candidate side, it's technology, right? I'm going to use the technology to try to find a job. What I was amazed was when we saw the picture of
Margaret, whoever the counselor was.
Christina, or whatever.
Christina.
Christina. That they were trying to bring back the human element into the job-seeking process, which I found to be a big differentiator for them versus some of the other technologies that were there. And Alex made a very interesting point. He said to me on the side that they're moving away from customer service to relationship management. That was a real differentiator for me. It really opened my eyes to how they're differentiating themselves. You know, you mentioned who's talking on the candidate side. From the candidate side, what am I getting if I pay? Well, I'm getting something a little bit different. Maybe someone who can hold my hand. There's a face I can talk to now. There's someone else out there. That was very eye-opening for me.
I just didn't like the term they use for lightweight. I mentioned it to them. I said, it has a connotation. You're really talking about these short key pieces in a kind of building of a relationship in a stepwise fashion. Maybe that's why they have that. And so I didn't like the term, but I also liked the concept and felt it was more important than the data issue.
But I thought what was fascinating about that whole discussion was the fact that really this person, this counselor, who's presumably proxying the relationship between you and your target recruiters, doesn't really do anything in that process. That it's really, again, I'll use the term optics, it's creating optics and the perception that there is this human, that there is a safety net. But when we double-click this very, just even one level, those facilitated conversations were automated.
Yeah.
And again, I have to raise my hand and do a little extra effort to talk to a career counselor. I just thought it would be, psychologically, I think it's really interesting that any other system could offer the same service, but the perception of having someone there who is looking out for my best interests
is powerful.
It is very powerful.
And you're going to see an increased
significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they're looking as long as when you call, make that phone call.
Somebody responds.
Somebody answers on the other side.
Right, right.
So that's the proof. To me, that's the proof of that pudding when it's the same person when it's engaged.
They are pioneering minimum viable human involvement in transactions, and that is really interesting.
It's really interesting, and it's augmented reality in some ways, and you're going to see a huge growth of that over the next
year. You're following? I want Chris to follow the augmented reality observation. Go ahead, KD.
Started to follow. I think we, it reinforced that the Ladders is really good at two things, technology and marketing.
Yeah.
And the augmented reality, if you buy into the augmented reality, which I think is a great way, because they're trying to create this comfort level, to your point, kind of going away from technology. I think I learned a lot more today that they're really good at technology, and I kind of had this sense of that from meeting them before, and reinforce that they're really good at marketing in ways beyond a splashy commercial that's,
absolutely.
A striptease.
It's some pretty leading edge stuff, actually.
Building the marketing into the product, which is impressive.
Yeah.
It's psychology.
Okay, wow, we're about wrapped up. Just the last minute of the show. Just thanks so much, everyone, for taking your time away from the Western Sizzler, which we're about to head over to, hanging out with us tonight on the show. Somewhere. I was not in the notes. I came late.
On the East Coast?
I came late. Just a few quick announcements. Next few weeks, we're in flux with a few scheduling things, but we've got some really good things coming up. We've got Bill Taylor from Fast Company, who wrote Practically Radical, coming on the show in a couple weeks. Sherry Turkle from MIT, in her book. It's called Alone Together. She's coming on in a couple weeks. Yeah, Sean, this is a big get for us. She did the Colbert Report. I think she did MSNBC and then our show.
So why is she doing us?
The PR cycle. Shauna, where have you been? That's the rap. You tell her. You're a PR
Episode
person.
86.
Yes. It's real, Sherry. We'll be episode 86, as a matter of fact. You guys know the company Select Minds, some of the products they have in networking? Anna's coming on, and one of her other people who's not her. But the two of them will be on the show. That will be next week's show, as a matter of fact.
Is it next week?
Yep, Anna from Select. So we're excited about that. So anyway, thanks, everyone. We really appreciate it. Acquire Software, of course. Thank you so much for
all
the support.
Thank you, Acquire.
Mark, voice of HR Happy Hour. You don't have to read a commercial, but just Say goodnight for all of us from the HR Happy Hour.
This episode of HR Happy Hour was brought to you by Acquire. Live from the Ladders in New York City, Steve Bose and Company. Good night.
God, what a great call. Thanks, everyone.
Night.
Your occupation.
You can make a living doing that.
JCBS.